Well, as I said, Jacob, of course, has now met Rachel and they've fallen in love. And as I've stated, Laban tricked Jacob. Jacob was serving 7 years for the privilege of marrying Rachel. And there's certainly a very dear verse in verse 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. Our Lord Jesus served our Father, his Father, for the privilege of having us as a bride. Consider that to be sort of a dowry that he paid to the Heavenly Father. And it was, what was the price of redemption? It was his own sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And he bought us. His service, his dowry to God was a life of obedience. It was a life of perfection. And more than that, it was a death that paid the debt for all of his people. Oh, bless the name of our dear Redeemer. We are debt free. We owe nothing to the justice of God. Let the people of God rejoice. Let those who know of redeeming grace shout hallelujah. For the Savior has settled our account. We owe God nothing but thanksgiving. What shall I render to the Lord, the psalmist said, for all of his mercies to me? Oh, let us thank him and praise him. Rejoice in finished redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our Savior came to do a work. He spoke one time in the Gospel of John. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. And the works were, first of all, to humble himself to come into this world. Well, he did that. And then there's the work of obedience, of being made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And, of course, he obeyed God's law in every jot and tittle. But specifically, the work was the work of redemption. It was the work of salvation, the work of reconciliation, the work of removing our sins, the work of establishing righteousness for an unrighteous people that our Lord loved with an everlasting love. You will remember, I'm sure, in John chapter 4, our Lord went through, he must needs go through Samaria. And the disciples were amazed that he would go through Samaria. And even more amazed that he would spend any kind of time with an adulterous woman. But she was a vessel of mercy. She was one of those for whom he came into this world to save. He had covenanted with the Father and with the Spirit to redeem her. So he must needs go through Samaria. And he taught her who he was. And she went into the city to tell men and women and all who would listen to her that she had found the Messiah. And as she left, the disciples came back from going to town to the grocery store. And they said, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the work of the Father, the work of God, and finish it. What is that work? The work of saving his people from their sins. He said, that's my meat. You see, what food is to a hungry man, what water is to a thirsty man, doing the will of God was to Christ Jesus and laying down his life for us. And that which he did for us is portrayed, at least to a degree, in those words that says that Jacob, he served Laban because of his love for Rachel 7 years. and it seemed to him but a few days. He was delighted to do the work. And behold, brethren and sisters, our Lord Jesus did the work of redemption to save us. He was delighted to do it. This was his meat. This was his drink. This is what, perhaps we could say, gave him strength. He was energized to do this work. He wasn't hesitant to do it. He was delighted to do it because of the love that he has for his people. You remember when our Lord told them he had this work to do, told his disciples, "Master, eat. Master, eat." But he didn't rebuke them. And I thought, as I worked on this message today, I thought the reason he didn't rebuke them, because I'm remembering the words of Psalm 103. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And don't you rejoice in these next words too? "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that there's nothing to us. We're just dust. That's all we are. We're just dust. But we have a perfect Savior. A perfect Savior." You remember in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, "I have glorified thee," speaking to the Father, "I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." He came to render to the Father the work which God gave him, the work that was required for him to have the bride, for him to have us, for him to have us with him for all eternity. There was this work. And he was glad to do it. And he didn't cease his pilgrimage in this world until he could say fully upon the cross of Calvary, "It is finished. I have finished that work." So Jacob had a work to do in order to have his bride, the bride that he loved, even as Christ did. But he was tricked. We talked about that in our last message. Laban deceived him. But even in the deception of Laban, the Lord sets forth a vital gospel truth. Look again at what Laban says in verse 26. "And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country." In other words, it's absolutely wrong to give the younger before the firstborn. In other words, we have a law, and it's got to be honored. It's got to be honored. You can't have Rachel unless you honor this law. That's the reason I brought to you Leah. The law had to be satisfied. The law said you cannot marry the younger until the firstborn is married. This law must be honored. And when it comes to our spiritual union with the Lord Jesus, this marriage of the Savior to his bride, God's law had to be satisfied. It had to be. There cannot be any marriage of this spiritual bride of our Lord Jesus until God's law is honored. And that's something that very few people know anything about, the satisfaction of divine justice. Our Lord did not die on the cross of Calvary to just set an example of how we should be submissive in death, how we should trust the Lord when it comes time to die, how we should be willing to go when he says it's time for you to leave this world. That
he was the perfect example of many things. There's no question about that. But he came to honor God's law. Satisfaction had to be done to justice. This is what Laban is saying. It can't be done. It's not right that we just set the law aside and you go ahead and marry Rachel. There's a law that has to be kept before you can have the bride. One of the oldest questions is asked in Job. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? The joining of our Lord Jesus and our everlasting salvation in Him. The joining of our Savior to us and our everlasting salvation in Him is fully dependent upon Him honoring and satisfying the legal requirements of God. So Jacob serves another 7 years for the hand of Rachel in marriage. Now he's got two wives, and of course Laban gives him gives to these two wives, gives to each of them a handmaid. So Jacob now has two wives and he has two maids. And then we get into the names of the sons of Jacob. And we started on this in our last message. Reuben was the firstborn, which means see a son. Look, a son. Behold, a son. Behold the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the message of John the Baptist. It's the message of all of God's preachers. This is the one we direct your attention to. Not us. Not the church. Not the ordinances. We direct your attention to that Lamb who was slaughtered. Who died. By whose blood we're redeemed. And then there's Simeon. Leah bore him Reuben, and then secondly Simeon, which means hearing. Aren't you thankful God gave you ears to hear the gospel? And gave you the wisdom to understand and hear what is the truth and what isn't the truth. You can discern the difference. There are some people, if a preacher gets up and he preaches in such a way that they like the tone of his voice, or he's very loud and they like loud preachers, or he's very soft and they like soft-spoken preachers, they just say, well, boy, that's my kind of preacher there. Without even considering the content of the message. But the Lord comes to us, to His people, and He gives us the gift of hearing and discernment. My sheep, what did the Savior say? They hear my voice. And the voice of another shepherd, they won't hear. They just won't listen to Him. And they have the discernment from God to know truth from error. Whereas there are some people, they just take in everything. They swallow everything. Wow, he's a good preacher. Or like a preacher in the church that I'm very much acquainted with, at least was years ago, and one of the members said, well, he's not much of a preacher, but he's a wonderful pastor. He's a wonderful pastor. Isn't that what he said? Simeon means hearing. That faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Not just hearing with these ears. Yeah, we do hear with these ears. This is the hearing gate, the ear gate. But there's another kind of ear that God has to give, a spiritual ear. And I'll tell you, if He gives you a spiritual ear, if He gives you spiritual hearing, that spiritual hearing, it will detect any error in the gospel that's proclaimed. And it will only grasp that which is the truth. And you know exactly, most of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've heard preachers on the radio or on the television, and you'll say something like this: well, he said some good things. You're trying to be nice. You're trying to be kind. But he didn't say the good thing. He didn't set forth the gospel of redeeming grace. He didn't set forth sovereignty and effectual redemption. And you heard what he had to say, and you said, he's wrong. I'll listen to that man no more. He's not honoring God. And then there's Levi, and that means joined. We're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ by eternal union, a union that cannot be dissolved. Those who say that we can be saved today and lost in the morning know nothing of effectual grace. They know nothing of the work of God. That he who hath begun a good work in you will finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. He won't desert you. He won't leave you. This is a union. Why, it would bring disgrace upon the name of the bridegroom if he forsook the bride. He will not be disgraced. All of those that God gave him in the covenant of grace, he will have them. He has bought them. He will draw them. He will fetch them unto himself. And one day he will say to the Father, behold, I am the children that thou hast given me. And not a one of them is missing. Not a one. And then Judah means praise. We praise the Lord for his full salvation. Now these are the four sons that were born to Jacob by Rachel's maid Bilhah. These are the four sons who were born to Leah. But then we get to two sons that were born to Jacob by Rachel's maid Bilhah in chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. And I'll tell you what, Rachel does not come out as a nice person in this story. She doesn't. I know Jacob loves her, but she doesn't come across as a nice person. During the space of about 4 years, we'll say, that Leah bore Jacob four sons, Rachel can't get pregnant. And who did she blame? She blamed Jacob. But Jacob understood that which Rachel did not understand. That the Lord is the sovereign ruler over all things. Rachel didn't understand that. In fact, Jacob answers her in verse 2, and he's angry. He's angry against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Do you think I'm God? Do you think I'm in charge? Do you think I control all things? Do you think I have the power to make you pregnant? Life comes from God. It comes from God. And it's the Lord, watch his language, it's the Lord who has withheld thee the fruits of the womb. Honey, I love you, but the reason you're not bearing any sons is because God has willed that right now you bear no sons. You see, Jacob, he's ever learning. And he has learned it's God who sits on the throne. And all life, even physical life that is formed in the womb as the result of the union of a man and a woman, that life is ultimately due to God's power. And as it is in the physical realm, so it is in the spiritual realm. And you have He begotten by the word of His power. You're quickened by His power. We're born of God. Born of God. It's a work only God can do. And people don't understand that today. You listen to these preachers. They're preachers on the radio and on the television. They're all the time putting the cart before the horse. Believe on Jesus and get born again. Faith is not the route to the new birth. The new birth is the route to faith. Don't put the cart before the horse. If you do that, if you put faith being as it did that which initiates a relationship with God, you believe and you're born again, you've got false doctrine. That's what you got. You got heresy. You've got man doing something for God, and then God responds with life. That's not the way it is. Oh, God, save us from that. Lord, give us life. And that's so simple to anybody who's been given the seeing eye and the hearing ear and the believing heart. Lord, give us life. Then we'll believe. You who believe the gospel, you who studied the Word of God, you know I'm telling the truth. You know this is what the Word of God says. Well, Jacob, he's perturbed with Rachel because she doesn't understand that all things are of God. So when God is not pleased to give her life in her womb, she just blames Jacob. Well, Jacob knew what Rachel didn't know. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's His reward. So, Rachel says in verse 3, take my handmaid, Bilhah. She just pushes Bilhah to Jacob. Here, Jacob, take this woman and have sons by her. And she gave him, verse 4, Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and she conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, now watch this. Rachel said, God hath judged me. God has judged my case. And He's vindicated me. I'm doing the right thing. Because my handmaid got pregnant. She's twisting this around. God has judged me. God He's examined me. And He knows that I'm right on this. He's heard my voice, and He's given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan, and Dan means judgment. God has given sentence concerning my case. Rachel, bless her heart, she's guilty of envy, guilty of pride, guilty of nagging, guilty of conniving jealousy. And she threw another woman into the arms of Jacob. And when that woman became pregnant, she concluded, God has vindicated me. I'm right. See there? I knew I was right, Jacob. Now, what do you got to say now, Jacob? Oh, tell you something about the people of God. Dan's name means judgment now. Something about the people of God. We do judge ourselves.
We look into the mirror of God's Word. And we judge ourselves to be fallen creatures. And we need the grace of God.
And we judge, we examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith.
How do we examine ourselves? Of what does this examination entail? All the works that you're doing?
The examination is the very basis or the foundation of your hope. And I would call upon each of you who are here tonight and those of you who are watching, do a thorough, honest investigation and judgment of your hope of glory. Why do you think a holy God will accept you? Can you find a reason in the Word of God when you look into the Scriptures that reveals you?
And then as you examine the footing upon which you think you stand secure in the eyes of God, why do you think God's going to accept you?
What's the basis of your hope?
Well, Jim, I've read my Bible every day.
God knows. God knows I prayed to Him. I've been faithful in church. Is that the basis for your hope? Or can you say honestly with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness.
Oh Lord, help me to judge a righteous judgment, just to be honest. Self-deception is an awful thing. Oh, Lord, give me honesty as to my standing before You. Why do I hope to be in the presence of God? You probably heard the story. I heard Henry tell this about John Jasper, pastored in Richmond, Virginia, black preacher. And somebody asked him one time, said, John Jasper, when you get to the gates and ask you, why should the Lord receive you, John Jasper, into God's holy heaven? He said, I'm just going to say, I believe the Lord will receive me, though a sinner, will receive John Jasper based on this, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of anything I've done. What are you going to say? What are you going to say to God when He says, why should I let you in? Why should I let you into my holy heaven? You're going to start reciting the verses that you've quoted and all the things that you've done. That's what a lot of people are going to try to do. And in Matthew 7, there's a lot of folks going to say, look what we've done for you. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. I never loved you. I had no regard for you. And you've had no regard for me.
Why should I let Jim Bird, James Ferguson Bird, why should I let a sinner like you, a scoundrel like you, born in sin, deceived, wicked by nature, why should I let you into my holy heaven?
Lord, I know you can't let me in for anything I've ever said, done, or thought. Let me in for Christ's sake. Your Word says He died for sinners. Lord, I sure am one. I sure am one. And He's the only hope I got. Your beloved Son. His faithfulness unto death. He's my hope. And like John Jasper, I say, I believe the gates of heaven will open wide open. Come on in. Come on in. That's not complicated, is it? Don't let anybody rob you of the simplicity of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Dan means judgment. And then, look here, let me go quickly. Verse 7, and Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled. She sure does draw attention to herself a lot, doesn't she? And she reminds me of the natural man who's all the time talking about what they've done.
With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I've come out on top. I've bested her. I have prevailed. That's what she says. Bless her heart. And she called his name Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestling. Wrestling. I say again, Rachel doesn't appear lovely in this at all. She's jealous over her sister. Now her maid becomes pregnant, and Rachel names the baby Naphtali, and she takes credit for it. Well, that's the natural man in the things of religion, isn't it? Takes credit for it. But we can learn a spiritual lesson here. Another spiritual lesson. Our Lord wrestled with all of our enemies. He wrestled, and you know what? He prevailed. And that's exactly what it says in Revelation chapter 5. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He wrestled with all of our enemies. And He defeated them all. He pinned them all. He slew them. He overcame and He conquered. He prevailed. And I tell you, if you prevail, if you conquer, it's on account of who your great conqueror is. As it says in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's not you. It's not me. And, you know, as I look at this passage of Scripture, and especially Rachel's attitude, you know, strife begets strife, doesn't it? These two sisters opposed each other. Rachel opposed Leah, and now Leah says, I'll get even with you. Because we're going to get into something else here. Look at verse 9. And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. She said, well, you're not getting the advantage over me. I got a maid too. And Jacob, here, take my maid. And he does. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. Or a great company. And she called his name Gad. Gad. Gad presents the idea of a company or a group. A company or a group of people, a whole troop. And we get a little bit more insight into this, if you'll bear with me and go to Genesis chapter 49. And look what verse 19 says, because it not only means Gad, not only means troop and group or company, but it means one who is the head of the group. One who takes the lead. Chapter 49, Genesis. Well, what's this all about? These are the last words of Jacob. He calls his 12 sons and he pronounces blessings upon them. And we'll get into this eventually. But look at verse 19. Gad, he's calling these boys up one by one. Gad, he says, a troop shall overcome him. But he shall overcome at the last. Think of our Lord Jesus. He's the head of a company. The company of God's elect. He takes the lead. He comes down here to this earth. The religious opposition stands against him. He goes before a religious tribunal. He goes before a civil tribunal. They convict him and sentence him to die. It seems like he's defeated. But you know what? Calvary wasn't his defeat.
That was his victory. That's where he conquered.
And he leads his troop. He leads his company. He leads all of those who are given him in the covenant of grace. He leads us all to victory.
Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the leader of the company. He's the leader of the group.
And then go back and I'll wrap this up. I'm going to have to quit. Look, go back to chapter 30. And look at verses 12 and 13. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Oh, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. Asher means blessed or happy or joyful. We rejoice in our Savior, for in him we are blessed indeed. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does blessed mean as the Lord has blessed us? It means highly favored, one to be envied, one who is happy, one who is joyful. We're blessed. We're a blessed people. There's no question about it. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And another one, Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is that country. I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm delighted to be a citizen of this great country. And I'm glad I was born in the South, too. I'll just add that in. Okay? But I'm thankful to live here. But listen, don't confuse patriotism with Christianity. They are not the same. God does indeed have a nation, but it's not the 50 states of the United States of America. His nation is a group of people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. That's the nation he's interested in, not our nation or any other specific geographical nation in this great, on this great earth. It's a spiritual nation that he chose and he redeemed and he called and he's preserving and he perfects them to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's why Peter in 1 Peter 1, 9 calls it a spiritual nation. That's what it is. It's a spiritual nation. That's the nation that is blessed of the Lord. Here's another one, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, oh, how happy, how joyful, how much to be envied is that man who trusts the Lord. He's not trying to work his way to heaven. He just trusts the Lord. And then one more, and I say this in the last. I can give you many, but Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. A natural man, he's not interested in the election of God. But David says, oh, how blessed. Oh, how joyful. Oh, how happy is that man that the Lord has chosen unto salvation. And he causes him to approach unto the Lord, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Asher means blessed. Oh, how blessed we are in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure is a lot to learn from these names of the sons of Jacob. And we'll keep on going, the Lord willing, next Wednesday. Let's pray. It's so good of you, Lord, to teach us from your word. You've given us a love for the word of God, a desire to look into this book, to see our Lord Jesus Christ. We search for him on every page. And Lord, in your own good time, you show us these wonderful spiritual nuggets of gold as you reveal to us your dear and blessed Son, our glorious Savior. We rejoice in him. We're blessed in him. And indeed, we have all spiritual blessings in him. And we're mighty thankful. Very grateful to you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see him and ears to hear his voice and a heart to believe him. Encourage your dear people. Let us go away this evening rejoicing in our great Savior, the one whom to know is life everlasting. In his great and glorious name I ask these things. Amen.